morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Just a few announcements. First of all, thank you all for being here. You could have enjoyed this beautiful spring weather, maybe planted some bulbs or something. So we're really glad you're here. Thank you for that. Just a few announcements in addition to what's already in your bulletin. The deacons will be meeting next Sunday, February 10th, after church. The Women's Association will be meeting next Sunday, February 10th, before church. Time to be determined, and you'll see that in an email this week. And then February 17th, the deacons are having a Valentine cookie fellowship before church. That will be at 9:45, cookies and coffee and a time for fellowship. So please mark your calendars to be here for that. And also next Sunday will be Scout Sunday. So we look forward to having the Scouts participate in our service. So please be here for that as well.
Please join with me for our call to worship. God alone is our refuge and hope, our shelter and protection. From our very first breath to our last, God's love and compassion never fails. So come, lift your voices in praise to God. Bear witness to God's acts of mercy and love. Proclaim God's glory to all who will listen. Let's worship God together. Please rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 336, We Gather Together. Join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and apart from you. We have turned from our neighbors and refused to bear the burdens of others. We have ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed.
In your great mercy, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness,
that we may choose your will and obey your commandments through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me now for our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Join with me now as we say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Having been reconciled to God in Jesus, let us show signs of that reconciliation with one another by greeting one another in faith.
Good morning. Just one quick announcement about the anthem, which is next on our agenda here this morning. The choir has invited us to join them and sing along with them during the chorus or the refrain or the part that repeats. And Cliff, of course, has those words for us up on the screen. So it's at the beginning and then it's after every verse. So please feel free to join the choir. Also, just between you and me, the choir's thinking about trying to make this be a screen song for the future. So try to learn it.
Save my never before, grow my soul. just writing as you're talking.
Oh, okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We have a prayer request today from a member who asked to remain anonymous. This member is asking for prayer that they have been struggling with depression and other personal issues. This member prays that they can listen to the Lord for guidance and how to relieve that person from these negative feelings. Thank you.
This time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our hymn of preparation, God is My Refuge, and I believe the words will be on the screen. Be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we pray for everyone who has got a cold, the flu, or some kind of winter malady. Lord, we pray that as the temperatures drop and the weather gets pretty nasty, that you would protect us from these common infections. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges. Lord, winter can be a rough season, not just for physical maladies, but for mental and emotional ones as well. Lord, we pray that for those who are suffering from depression or anxiety or any other mental illness, that you would be there with them, that you would help them to get the help that they need, and that you would train us to ask and to help as necessary. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, it seems like January lasted for 2 months this year. It's been a rough month in terms of the weather and just general gloom that has pervaded over us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us as winter continues. Help us to stay healthy. Help us to stay warm. Help us to stay connected with one another. Lord, we also present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for my installation service that happened last week. Particularly, we thank you for the ministers who from throughout our presbytery who came and helped us celebrate. Lord, we pray that you would be with us during this season of transition. Lord, we thank you for this brief break in the winter weather. I think it's supposed to be 53 today. Lord, we pray that we would be able to just enjoy this day, and it will give us strength for those bitter cold days that I'm sure are coming. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue to worship God by presenting our tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is from Luke 4, 21 through 30. And he began to say to them, Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said to them, Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country. And he said, Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleaned, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogues were filled with wrath. And he rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I am always curious what people are going to say to me as they shake my hand and leave the sanctuary. A lot of the time, people use this as an opportunity to give me feedback on my sermons. "I liked your sermon, Pastor," usually means that they genuinely liked it, but that it may be dragged on a little too long. "Interesting sermon, Pastor," usually means that they thought my sermon was garbage, but they're too polite to tell me so. Now, I have never had anyone shake my hand and say, "Pastor, your sermon makes me want to throw you off a cliff." Yet, this is exactly what Jesus' hometown crowd wants to do with him after he preached. Now, to be fair, Jesus brought some of this on himself. He could have stood in the receiving line and just said, "See you next week." But instead, he says, "Guys, I know that you are going to turn on me, and that's really not cool." What Jesus is doing here is he's inviting the crowd to change. And instead, they turn on him. Jesus' message, which is the same message we heard last week, that he is the Messiah not just for the Jewish people, but for Jews and Gentiles alike. This is the message that makes his hometown want to push him off a cliff. See, they thought that the Messiah was coming just for them, or just for Jewish people. And when Jesus comes and he says, "Actually, I'm here for everyone," the crowd has to decide whether or not they want to change a fundamental belief of theirs, or if they're going to kill the messenger, so to speak. Prophets have this uncanny ability of seeing into our hearts and touching our places of vulnerability. Vulnerability, or this place of being open to attack or change, is a hard place to be. It's much easier to push the person who's exposing our vulnerabilities off a cliff than it is to listen to what he has to say, or to do the hard work of composing an honest inventory of our lives, or even possibly changing our behavior. Yet, Jesus continues to push us, even though he knows that when he does that, we want to push him off a cliff, because he knows that his is the only way to true peace. To make Jesus' message a little bit more complicated, Jesus isn't just a prophet. He's also a hometown boy. Jesus grew up in the community he is preaching to. His parents are likely active and visible members of his community. He understands, perhaps better than anyone, what the norms and cultural assumptions are for this community. He knows that he's breaking those norms and cultural assumptions by asking people to change. But Jesus also tells them that he's not what we call a provincial prophet, or a prophet who's only going to preach in this limited area. No, Jesus is the Messiah for Jews and Gentiles alike. And in order to reach the Gentiles, he's going to have to leave his hometown. Now, hometown people usually, even if they don't say it, they want something special from the children they raise. But as we all know, not all children are meant to grow up and make their homes in their hometown. Some are called elsewhere. And the fact that they leave doesn't always have to do with whether their hometown was wonderful or not. Now, not all hometowns accept this reality. We've all witnessed communities give teenagers and young adults a really hard time when they try to leave, even if they're leaving for something good, like college. Because it's always going to be easier to reject one person than it is to maybe think about listening to what they have to say and maybe changing as a result of it. Let me give you an example. When I was in college, I was part of a campus ministry called University Christian Outreach. It's a really wonderful organization. And I'm most grateful for the fact that they gave me a home. They gave me a place to work out all of these questions I had about God as a result of my father's death. So I decided to work for them after college. I worked as a campus minister in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the University of Michigan, and also here, the University of Pittsburgh. As I was working for them, I could feel them grooming me for leadership in the organization. I didn't think much of it at the time. I was just really excited to be working for an organization that was such an important part of my own faith journey. Towards the end of my second year as a campus minister, I started to sense that God was calling me out of campus ministry into something new, and I didn't quite know at the time it was pastoral ministry. As much as I loved and continue to love campus ministry, I knew that I couldn't do it forever. Even as a 23-year-old, my bedtime is naturally at about 9 p.m., and all of the good work of campus ministry happens between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. I also didn't love that this organization didn't really want women to be teaching or preaching. Except, of course, when they were teaching or preaching to other women. I knew that I had gifts in teaching and preaching, and I wanted to work for an organization that would let me use them. I remember sitting down with my supervisors after spring break to tell them that I was going to have to resign my position so that I could attend seminary in the fall. I thought that they were going to be happy for me. Here, their investment was going off to serve the wider church. I was a little bit mistaken in that assumption. See, both of my supervisors, who are lovely people, are also very devout Catholics. And in the Catholic tradition, women are not allowed to serve as priests. And even though I told them I'm not planning to become a Catholic priest, I'm going to be pursuing ordination in a denomination that encourages women to be pastors, they still weren't happy. One by one, I witnessed people who I thought were my good friends stop responding to my text messages and emails. A few even unfriended me on Facebook, which I thought was a very aggressive move at the time. But the most hurtful was when my best friend actually sat down with me and said, "I don't know if we can continue to be friends if you become a pastor." Now, I didn't know it at the time, but the organization and the people in the organization had decided that it was easier to cut ties with me than it was to challenge an assumption about women's place in ministry that really organized their life together. Even though it hurt at the time, I can look back on it and see their rejection of me not as a rejection of me, but as a rejection of my challenge to their worldview. because it is always going to be easier to reject a person than it is to change a worldview. Now, despite all of our discussion this morning about pushing prophets and pastors off of cliffs, I do think that this scripture passage for today is a hopeful one that contains good news. And the good news is this: the gospel, or the story of Jesus Christ, is a story that will always and ultimately lead to the cross. This was true for Jesus, so it has to be true for his followers as well. Following this gospel story is hard, but it's the only way to eternal life. Following this gospel is hard. There's just no way of getting around this. It's hard to love unlovable people. It's hard to face rejection from people you love and who genuinely love you. It's hard to do what is right instead of what is easy, efficient, or cost-effective. Our scripture passage for today reminds us that if following Jesus feels hard, then we're probably doing it right. This morning's text comes from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel. You'll notice that Jesus hasn't really done anything yet in his ministry other than be baptized and proclaim that he is the Messiah. Yet his hometown already wants to throw him off a cliff. In the coming weeks and months, as we journey to and through Lent, we'll see what his hometown does when he starts performing miracles, challenging the powers that be, hanging out with prostitutes, and healing lepers. Following Jesus is hard, but it is the only way to satisfy the deepest longing of all of our hearts: peace with ourselves and union with God. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to remain seated for our communion hymn, "We Gather Here in Jesus' Name," number 510.
celebration of the Lord's Supper. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you, also with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, which right to our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you, and to live in peace with your whole creation. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Our Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a sign of the new covenant, sealed for you in my blood. So whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. United us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of a heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You can all rise and join with me for our closing hymn.
Friends, let me say a word of blessing as we leave from this place. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen.